Support for Aspen Public Radio comes from Balcom & Green PC, a full-service law firm with offices in Glenwood Springs, Aspen, and Basalt, providing advice and solutions for their clients' legal needs throughout Western Colorado for more than 60 years. Learn more at balcomgreen.com.
Welcome to Valley Roundup. I'm Carolyn Sakariasen. The Valley's newspapers have made their endorsements. Why are they so important?
It's like the one time a year where you get all these reporters and editors together who normally are striving to stay objective.
I think it's reflective of this community and kind of the values of the community, and I think the newspapers reflect those values.
We have access to the candidates that the public does not.
Joining me first on the phone is Randy Essex, editor and publisher of the Glenwood Post-Independent. Later in the show, I talked to Curtis Wackerly, editor of the Aspen Daily News, and Lauren Glendenning, editor of the Aspen Times. Why don't you fill in the listeners on how the Glenwood Post-Independent approaches it, what the process is, and who makes those decisions?
I think endorsements are important because we have access to the candidates that the public does not. We watch them in office. If they're an incumbent, we watch them during debates and campaign forums. And then we schedule interviews of about an hour for the local races where we expect to endorse people. And there's a lot of insight in that. This election cycle, I was, particularly unimpressed with John Acha. He had Andrew Quiet, vice chairman of the Garfield County Democrats, with him, and Quiet seemed to lead the conversation, seemed to be leading the direction of that campaign, and prompted Acha a few times. So in our editorial about that race, and you know, we're not big fans of John Martin, we said that Acha is spectacularly unprepared for office, and he demonstrated that in the editorial board interview. Municipal elections for Glenwood Springs the last time around, I asked Kathy Trotter, I asked all the candidates, how do you feel about Glenwood Springs? What does it mean to you viscerally? And Kathy teared up, which said to me that she really cares about this community. And that's something that our readers don't see. That's something that I think offers some insight. It doesn't, that sort of thing doesn't qualify somebody for office, but that sort of feeling and commitment was noteworthy. And we can share that with our readers in making our recommendations.
Were any of them particularly hard for you?
The Carbondale mayor's race was really difficult this year. I feel like we endorsed Katrina Byers. Very close call. There was discussion in the newsroom. Dan Richardson certainly is qualified. If a mayor's job is to set the tone of the discussion and set the agenda and run an efficient meeting, I think Dan Richardson probably is better than Katrina at that. I think that Carbondale's at a tipping point where it could really lose its character, and I think that Katrina is more sensitive to the full range and diversity of Carbondale's population. But that was a discussion among the people here in the newsroom who live in Carbondale, and about half the newsroom lives in Carbondale, and, you know, weighing what we said in our reporting and what we saw in the interviews. The other thing is that when you're an editor, a news director, you get emails and phone calls from people who are activists on either side of the ballot proposals. I had a lot of phone conversations with people advocating for one position or another. I had some people drop by on statewide tours. I had some local activists come in on just different issues. You hear arguments on both sides, try to gain insights. People like us who have access and get paid to have these conversations and try to understand the issues, I hope can be helpful. And we assembled all of our coverage and all of our editorial recommendations into an online file so people who are filling out their ballots can go to that and click on the editorials, click on the profiles that we did of candidates.
Just why don't you refer people to that page that you're talking about?
It's on postindependent.com, and I have been keeping it on the homepage, and the headline is Your 2016 Election Guide. You know, we're using our best judgment, and like everybody else, when we write editorials, we have a political point of view. I think our readers know that, but the closer politics get to home, the less partisan they are, I believe.
Right. How long do you think, in totality, it has taken you to assemble those endorsements between the conversations and the, you know, the one-on-one interviews? Like, you spend an hour with each DA candidate, right? So, I mean, it's, I would think, a good week's worth of solid work.
Well, I started in late August lining up interviews with the DA candidates. We interviewed Schwartz and Tipton. We interviewed the county commission candidates. We interviewed the Carbondale mayor candidates. And then there's follow-up discussion. You factor in the just the news page reporting that we do, the profiles and the issue stories that we do, and then the writing time for the editorials. Really, I would guess that we're talking 40 to 80 hours of person time.
Sure.
Just involved in that process.
Yeah. And then there's always the timing of them as well. The candidates want that out as soon as possible so they can use the endorsement in their campaign materials.
And it's more important to me in Colorado than it was in a state where most people went to the polls or the early voting didn't start quite as soon, to try to get the information out at least in that first week or so that people have their ballots.
Right.
And with a lot of interesting issues on the ballot, presidential race aside, I mean, I just think that the Colorado ballot is just chock full of interesting issues. The minimum wage, right to die, the Amendment 71, Colorado Care,
yeah,
the primary, you know, the open primary questions, just really interesting.
Yeah, I think
for a political junkie.
And then, do you have an editorial board, Randy?
So I just became publisher in addition to being editor, and the editorial, it was a very small staff. The editorial board before that was the publisher and me, and then we would bring in reporters who might cover an issue to more or less question them and get their perspective. Now, I have joked that, you know, I'm the editor and publisher, so I feel a little bit like Donald Trump. I talk to myself, and I've got a very good brain.
And that's true. So
that's
you're the
a
one.
Joke.
You're
okay?
Making the decision, right? But you—it's really—it's your decision.
It is. It is my decision, and I try to have our advertising director and of course reporters sit in on the interviews with the candidates, get their reaction. I also have a group of community editorial advisors, and the membership is that, of that is not disclosed because I don't want people to start lobbying them. They won't want to participate anymore.
Right.
But I meet with them every month or two, and we just kind of run down issues. And I did get some preliminary impressions of the different candidates from them.
Right. Okay. Yes, so you're not making that decision completely in a vacuum or a bubble.
No, it's not just me, and in fact, I let myself be swayed because I don't want it to be just me.
When you were working in Iowa, the process was much different, I would imagine.
Yeah, I was never part of the editorial board at the Register because I oversaw a lot of our coverage, including two Iowa caucus and presidential cycles, but the editorial board is much larger at an operation like the Des Moines Register, the Detroit Free Press. typically the publisher, the executive editor, the editorial page editor, and any editorial writers and columnists are part of the board. So there can be, you know, vigorous discussion. There can, in some places, they vote. In some places, they work really hard to reach consensus. And then every once in a while, the publisher will say, yeah, I don't care what y'all think. This is what we're going to do. So it's not a democracy.
You are listening to Valley Roundup, an analysis and commentary of the week's news with writers and editors. That was Randy Essex, editor and publisher of the Glenwood Post-Independent. I'm Carolyn Sakariasen. I now turn to Lauren Glenn Denning, editor of the Aspen Times, and Curtis Wackerly, editor of the Aspen Daily News, to discuss their newspaper's endorsements.
Thank you for coming into the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So your last piece of endorsements are coming out in the Friday editions of the paper. Lauren, you've been cranking those out since the third week of October?
Maybe even the second week of October. Yeah, we've been staggering them kind of each week. Our editorial board's probably met five weeks in a row to discuss. There's just so much on the ballot. We've got the state issues and the local issues and basalt and snowmass and the school tax, and there's just so much going on.
Yeah. Did you take a position on the state ballot questions?
No.
Curtis, are you doing that?
We are not going to get to a lot of the state stuff. As Lauren says, there's so much going on locally that's where the discussion has been focused.
Right. And I think, you know, most of the time the papers come out with the same position. Do you notice that? I can't remember a time where we've differed.
Yeah, I think it's reflective of this community and kind of the values of the community, and mm-hmm. I think the newspapers reflect those values.
So there's a process. Tell me how the process works at the Times and how endorsements are done.
So we have an editorial board that consists of Samantha Johnston, the publisher, myself, and Rick Carroll is our managing editor, and then we have two community members on the board, Catherine Cook and Bob Broaddus. So we meet on Tuesdays, usually twice a month, but with election season, like I said, we've been meeting every week. And we sit down, we talk. Toward the beginning of the process, about a month and a half ago, we had candidates come in and meet with us during those meetings. Both county commissioner candidates came in. I shouldn't say both, but the contested race. And then the Snowmass Council folks came in and chatted with us. And they just, we asked them questions and they pitched their case. And after they leave, we talk about them and we talk about what we like and what we don't like and find consensus in our five-member board. And that's how we do it.
It's the majority wins?
Yeah, typically. And, you know, I think usually it's pretty rare that we're, I would say there's some disagreement, but it's usually nothing we can't get past. We are able to sort of find common ground even when we disagree. We pick the things that are the attributes for each candidate, and I think there's usually an easy way to find what those are, and we agree on those, and then Rick or myself will write the endorsement.
So, and when it goes against your own personal belief system or how you're going to vote, is that difficult to write?
For me, it's not. I mean, I think, you know, like I said before, you think about the values of the community and what our readers, which candidate are they going to like, and not just like, but who's going to do the most for them? And that's what I think about. And my beliefs might be different for myself, but as the editor, you have to think about the readers, and it's almost like a politician thinks about their constituents. And I mean, in some ways, they're our constituents. We have to make sure that what we're doing reflects their values, and that's the way I look at it.
Curtis, how does it work over at the Daily News?
It's really mainly the staff getting together, the reporters. We bring in some people from some other parts of the organization, and we sit down. We go through the list of questions on the ballot. We decide where everyone stands. There's usually kind of a straw poll at the beginning. If people are in disagreement, we just hash it out and try and arrive at some form of consensus. We interviewed candidates for a county commissioner and had lots of substantive discussions about other issues. We're not always all in agreement, but we try to find consensus and really try and write something that reflects what we see as in the best interest of the community.
And do you guys enjoy doing this? Because I'll tell you, I hated doing it when I was the editor of the paper, and I'll tell you why. Because part of me is I don't know whether or not my opinion should matter. And when I was talking to Randy Essex at the Glenwood Post Independent, he made the argument of, well, we're the ones that get to have this face-to-face time with the candidates or the people behind these issues, and we know these issues probably better than anyone, so we have the most educated opinion about it. And so that's why newspapers, I guess, have always had the role of making endorsements. I've always been like, what do you, why do you care what I think?
I mean, I think there's some validity to that, that yes, we have this access and we sit down with these candidates face to face and we kind of see this side of them that, and have this access, like I said, that other people don't have. But I think often newspapers and editors and journalists, we think pretty highly of ourselves. And sometimes I don't know that that's valid. And, you know, especially now with social media and there's so many blogs, there's so many places where people are getting their information. So our voices are kind of diluted, I think, now. And I don't know that endorsements really matter like they used to, but I think it's still important that we do them. We have to have a voice.
I mean, it is, you know, it's like the one time a year where you get all these reporters and editors together who normally are striving to, you know, to stay objective and then form an opinion on certain things. And maybe just that in and of itself, that it's not what we normally do, but it's based on, you know, the knowledge we've gained going about and reporting and asking questions. You, maybe that does give it some value than just your typical opinion column. I'm not sure. You know, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with it. Sometimes it feels good to write that way, but other times, you know, I'd rather be spending my time on news stories than some opinion piece that, you know, people are either going to agree with or disagree with, and, you know, it's always going to make someone mad.
Are you guys feeling the pressure of getting those things out the door? Because knowing that this is a mail-in election and people are voting now, I mean, I know that the candidates certainly like to have that stuff out the door sooner than later so they can use it in their campaign literature. And I've always thought, like, that's not my concern as the editor. I want to make sure I'm making the right decision. And
well, I would say in the case of this election where people have had their ballots for, 2 weeks now, it really has felt like early voting has felt like more of a thing than it's ever felt like before. And I know, you know, this has kind of been a process evolving into this all-mail ballot system. It's the first presidential election where everyone got their ballot super early. So I've definitely felt more inclined to try and get them out early. Of course, here we are. It's still the Friday before the election, and we're not done yet. So, I mean, it would probably be good to get these things out sooner, but it's just an extra layer of things to do.
Right.
We talk about this in the office. It's like the October surprise. And we've seen, gosh, we've had a surprise just about every week for the last year, it feels like. But, you know, journalists are natural skeptics. And a lot of us in the office wait until Election day to cast our ballots because we don't know what's going to happen. It could be something Monday night that happens that changes your mind. So we kind of, yes, there's a little bit of pressure because of the early voting and the mail ballots. And we did start earlier than I think we used to. But like Curtis said, you know, we still have two endorsements that we're running this week. Today's will be the last. But yeah, you just never know what's going to happen.
What about the fallout? I mean, have you heard from, say, Scott Ryder, who is running for Pitkin County Commissioner, and he didn't get the endorsement of either paper?
We heard from him a lot before, but not so much after.
He thought that we endorsed at Aspen Public Radio, and
cannot because it would violate your tax status.
Correct. So I'm like, I love to sit this one out. I don't see the point. For me, anyway. But there is fallout because I was just reading a letter to the editor from Tracy Bennett, who owns Midland Shoe, that I saw in the papers, where she is very much against the pin and fork questions 2F and 2G, and she thinks it's going to hurt downtown business and Basalt, and both papers endorsed voting yes on that question, which is having the town buy that piece of property on the river and then develop it into a $4 million park. And she said that she's pulling her advertising. Any response to that?
I mean, this is, like you mentioned, it's the fallout that kind of goes along with endorsements. You know, we have to be able to defend whatever we endorse. And she has a right to her opinion. And if she wants to pull her advertising, you know, that's her choice. We're not going to change anything we do when someone threatens to pull their advertising. That's just part of the game.
I second that. You know, it seems like there's a difference of opinion there.
So let's talk about your guys' endorsements quickly. I think they're going to be pretty much the same. Lauren, you all endorsed Greg Poschman for the Picking County Commissioner. You endorsed all of the City of Aspen questions except for the one that's about hiring of the Community Development Director and the Police Chief, the council hiring them. You said no to that. You said don't vote for that,
mm-hmm.
right? And then Snowmass, you came out with?
Alyssa Shank, Marky Butler, and Tom Good.
You are listening to Valley Roundup, an analysis and commentary of the week's news with writers and editors. I'm Carolyn Sakariasen. This week I'm talking to local newspaper editors about the endorsements they've made in this election. So can you just talk briefly about the reasoning behind those endorsements?
Sure, I can start with Snowmass. We feel like Snowmass has just had so many issues over the last couple of years. It's just been kind of a mess up there. And we feel like this council, the current council, is making some progress. They're moving forward. Alyssa was, she won Markey's seat when Markey won mayor. And then Tom Good was appointed or won the election for the special election after Chris Jacobson. That whole scandal happened. So we feel like, they've been on the council just a short time. They're doing good work. There's encouraging news about Bass Village. There's things coming up, and we just felt like keep this current board together, and we didn't see a reason to vote anybody out.
Right.
We think Jamie Knowlton's a fine candidate. It's not that we weren't selecting him or not endorsing him. It's just why change when things feel like they're going in the right direction?
Mm-hmm. That is genuinely one of the hardest things, especially in a race like Snowmass, where you have three good candidates for two council seats, and it's really not an endorsement against it. I mean, those are the times where you probably wouldn't mind taking a pass because you don't feel particularly strongly one way
exactly.
or the other. I know that's been sort of the discussion inside our building.
I think that could be the case for the Garfield County Commissioners or even the Picken County Commissioners. Scott wouldn't do a bad job, I don't think. They both care about this community. So, when in your editorial endorsing Greg, there was a statement about, well, maybe we shouldn't have a developer at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of, was that the tipping point for decision-making for you guys?
Yeah, it's something that came up in our conversations about it. It doesn't mean that, it couldn't happen, but we think that that board, pretty much all they're doing is land use. It's pretty much land use decisions. It's like their full-time job. And did we think that was the right match? And it just didn't feel like it right now. It doesn't mean that maybe in the future, but just at the place where this county is right now and the growth and the anti-growth and there's all these things happening, and we just didn't feel like that was the right fit at this time. And we also felt like Scott, he has some good ideas, not a whole lot of specifics, but good general sort of, high-level ideas. And we thought maybe they might be better suited for Aspen mm-hmm. City Council.
We had a similar thought process. So much of the platform that Scott put forward was about economic development and the housing system and things that we felt were a little more narrow than what the scope of a county commissioner has to encompass.
Right.
There's so much more there. Right.
City-centric.
Much of it has to do with, highly technical land use decisions. It's like, should we allow TDRs or not? What should the maximum house size be in the backcountry? Don't forget we have a major development decision coming up with the airport. So having a little bit more skepticism there of growth and development forces, we felt was the right move for this particular decision.
Right. And both papers endorsed the tax renewals of open space and the Wheeler real estate transfer tax.
Yep.
Thought process on that.
Mm-hmm. The open space one has been somewhat controversial, even though on surveys of county residents, it's almost as popular as Powder Days, the open space program. But one thing that's different about it this year, it's been around for 25 years. They now want to extend it for another 20 years, whereas in the past, the tax would sunset after 5 or 10 years. So there's been more check-in with the voters over these last 25 years. And now they're basically asking to go forth for another 25 years with just one vote. That has troubled some people. We felt that it's such an important part of the county and of the government. And there is still significant oversight by the elected county commissioners. It was appropriate to essentially bless that for the next generation.
We pretty much had the same discussions in our meeting and same pause mm-hmm. about the 20 years. I think that was something that we didn't like, but didn't feel right to go against it because mm-hmm. of that, given its significance.
Same thing with the real estate transfer tax funding the Wheeler, mm-hmm. even though that may be repurposed. That was the one part where
they totally punted on that.
People need to know that when you renew that, they're going to mm-hmm. probably come back to you, the mm-hmm. city will, and say, well, maybe we should repurpose it because the Wheeler's mm-hmm. got $30 million sitting in a fund.
Yeah. Well, the logic to that, and I struggled with it a bit at first, but I think it makes sense. These real estate transfer taxes are illegal now under the Taxpayer Bill of Rights from the early 90s in Colorado that tries to limit the size and scope of government in a number of ways, especially when it comes to taxation. The RET preceded that. Voters passed it in the late 70s. So it's grandfathered in, and we can keep it as long as it's continued. But if it goes away, it's gone. Can't get it back. So there's a lot of concern. It does generate probably more money than the Wheeler needs. So a lot of people have said, well, why don't we take some of that money and give it to some other worthy cause? And that will probably eventually happen. But the concern was you put something up there that's not fully cooked. Leave the question up here. Should we extend it for this, yes or no? And then we can confront, do we want to tweak what it goes for later? Mm-hmm. There's concern that if you put those two together, it would muddy the waters, and you could end up losing this this revenue stream that you can never get back.
What else did you? What other issues did you endorse?
Schools, the for Snowmass and Aspen, the
property tax for schools and sales tax renewal for Aspen, and you mm-hmm. said yes to both.
Yeah, I mean, given what's going on at the state level and the school districts are losing funding and we have, I think it's like a $2.5 million shortfall for Aspen School District next year. And, you know, how do you not support the children in this community going to school and getting an education when a lot of this, it's not because the school district or the school board are bad stewards of the taxpayer dollars. It's things that are happening out of our control at the state level. And we just couldn't find any reason not to support that.
Yeah. And it's not just an education. It's one of the best public school districts in the country.
What's your take on this election? What do you think is going to happen Tuesday? Predictions?
This has just been such a mess of an election. And, you know, you have the two most unpopular candidates probably in history. And you've got, you know, Republicans hate their candidate and the Democrats hate their candidate. You know, I read polls and then sometimes I don't know whether I can trust the polls. I see Hillary winning in a landslide and then I'll read something that says Trump could win in a landslide. And then I see that they're neck and neck. And I really just don't know. I think it's so hard to predict this one.
I would predict that whoever Colorado votes for is going to be the president.
That's probably a safe bet.
Whoever is elected, they are going to be mired in
right. Either one of them
problems. Whether it's Hillary with her issues and him not allowing a peaceful transition of the presidency.
We had a joke in the office. It was Hillary should win and then she'll get impeached because of this whole scandal, and then Trump didn't win, so then we don't get either one of them.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in and sharing your endorsements and your views.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carolyn.
That was Curtis Wackerly, editor of the Aspen Daily News, and Lauren Glendening, editor of the Aspen Times. I'm Carolyn Sakariasin, and you've been listening to Valley Roundup. You can also get a rundown of links and more information covered on this show on our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Valley Roundup is a production of Aspen Public Radio News.